A reading from the book of Exodus. In those days, the Israelites came to the desert of Sinai and pitched camp. While Israel was encamped here in front of the mountain, Moses went up the mountain to God. Then the Lord called to him and said, "Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, tell the Israelites, you have seen for yourselves how I treated the Egyptians, and how I bore you up on eagle wings and brought you here to myself. Therefore, if you hearken to my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my special possession, dearer to me than all other people, though all the earth is mine. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song.
We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
Know that the Lord is God. He made us, his we are, his people, the flock he tends.
We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
The Lord is good. His kindness endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, Christ, while we were still helpless, yet died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person, one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we are now justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath? Indeed, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, once reconciled, will we be saved by his life? Not only that, but we also boast of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At the sight of the crowds, Jesus' heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." Then he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon from Cana, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus, "Do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
At the sight of the crowds, Jesus' heart was moved with pity for them because they were troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. Today, the Word of God, Jesus, presents us with a revelation of the disposition of the heart of God. It's a heart that is deeply longing for us to unite to Himself. We gain a sense of how this is unfolded throughout salvation history from the first reading from the book of Exodus. Moses and the people are in the Sinai desert. They're at the hill, the foot of the mount. Moses goes up and he receives from the Lord specific instructions on to recapitulate, if you will, remind the people of everything that I have done to bring them to this time, to bring them to this gathering, this moment in history. And what was the basis of God's election of these people? Of all the people, the whole earth is His, and yet He chooses the Hebrew people. Precisely because they were the smallest, the most seemingly insignificant, that was the thing that caught God's attention. And the key to them being able to fulfill their vocation, to be a light to nations, is to adhere to the word, the law of God, and to remain faithful to the covenant He has initiated with them. As it was then, it continues to this day. As we see Jesus loving us from the depths of His human heart, He sees us. And we can even see in the election of those He chose to be the 12 around Him, upon which He would build the church. We can see in the selection of these men a reflection of the trials, the challenges that were a part of the Israelites throughout the ages. Look at them. Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. These were fishermen. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. Imagine that. Matthew, who once was collaborating with the occupying Romans to tax his own people. And we know the sentiment of the Jews with regard to the the tax collectors. They were hated. They detested them. And yet here we see Jesus selecting Matthew to be amongst the 12. James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon from Cana and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Simon was a zealot. He was the one who was one of the amongst the patriots of the Israelite people, longing for the country to come back together, for the people to come back together. Imagine that. So you got him on one end of the spectrum. You got Matthew on the other side of it. Blue-collar workers, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, fishermen. And yet Andrew and Philip, their names are of Greek origin, meaning that they were coming out of a tradition of Gentiles. All of this speaks to us of how the Lord, in his own way, selects the very issues that we see as a human people, as a world community. Look at all of the things that we are challenged by today, and yet do we not see it as a part of the collective of the men God chose to fulfill the promises made long ago? I myself shall shepherd my people, speaking through the prophet Ezekiel. For in every age and in every generation, those whom God would raise up to be leaders, they all fell short, and it's no different today. We all fall short of the glory of God. One of the first things I said to this community when I became pastor, way back, it seems so long ago, in July of 2014, I said, I promise you, as a priest of Christ, that I will present you with the fullness of the gospel to the best of my ability, in season and out of season, and that inevitably, at some point along the way, I'm going to disappoint you and you're going to disappoint me. Don't hold it against me, because we're all under the same charge. I've been given this office not to serve myself, but to give myself away. And I'm striving after that. And however, whatever ways in which I've failed to do that, in whatever ways it hasn't come across as it should, I take full responsibility for that and entrust myself to the mercy of God and beg your pardon. So we find ourselves today amidst the crowd that Jesus' heart is moved with pity for. And when he is moved in this way, he sees you and he sees me for what we are and who we are, and loves us all the same. Imagine that. Who but God can prove his love for us, as St. Paul reminds us today, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we are now justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath? Indeed, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, once reconciled, will we be saved by his life? I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is the words of Jesus, not from this particular gospel, but the gospel, be it John, Matthew, Mark, or Luke. It all is for us a presentation of the way, the truth, and the life of God, revealed only in the most complete way by Jesus, the eternal Word of God, taking upon himself our human nature in the fullness of time. And in every word he spoke, in every deed he performed, in the signs and wonders that manifested as a result, all of it was never for his own self-aggrandizement. It was to do the will of the Father and to restore sinners to where they were before the fall, to retrieve for us, to reclaim for us hope, eternal life, friendship with God, with each other. This is the mission of the Redeemer. And this is the same mission entrusted to us, realized in the persons of these 12. You are to go with my authority
You are to go and do what? Go and proclaim, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. Hopefully it dawns on us that in the light of this word of Jesus, everyone is eligible. Everyone is a viable option for God to be his elect. Yes, there was an order of operation. Go first to the lost tribes of Israel who have been scattered here and there. Go first to them, then to the Samaritans, and then the four corners of the world. We are the beneficiaries. We are the result of this. We are the people that God has sent. When the cry went out, the harvest is so plentiful, who can handle this? Lord, send us workers, send us laborers. We are the people that the Lord has sent in light of this great need. Not all of us are called to the extraordinary ministry of ordained ministry as priests and deacons and religious, but all of us are called under the general priesthood that we all share, the common priesthood by virtue of our baptism, priest, prophet, and king. All of us have been authorized. We've been invested with the power of God, which is love, to realize this kingdom. And where do we start? Where the need is greatest? In our own homes. And then from there, we look to the community. And there we go further. But it's all by the movement of grace, all by the direction of God. None of us merited this. I remember listening to the homily of the ordination of the four priests, the new priests that were ordained for our archdiocese. Archbishop Amon instructing the newly ordained, he says, as far as your call goes, don't get bogged down with trying to figure it out. It's a mystery. It's a mystery as to how any of us are called. It's a mystery. Don't get bogged down thinking about how is it that he's called you and not this one or that one. That's something that I always have to contend with. I'm always thinking about where I was before. Where I was, and I'm thinking, gosh, how stupid I was. I could have avoided so many things if I would have just been more attentive and this and that. The Lord's saying, don't worry about those things. It's not about where you've come from, it's where you're going. I have called you. It's by his initiative. You know, Jesus tells us this. It was not you who chose me, it was I who chose you to go forth and to bear fruit, fruit that shall remain. How many people looked upon that crowd that Jesus was moved with pity for? How many people looked upon that crowd and saw what Jesus sees? No one can see as God sees. He sees your heart. He knows your longing better than anyone could ever imagine it. He even knows the longings we have that we don't even know we have. Come to me. We heard this on the great solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, Friday of this past week. Come to me, all you who are burdened and laboring in this life, come and learn from me, who am meek and gentle or humble of heart. I was sharing on the solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus as a child. It always, when I think about the Sacred Heart of Jesus, I'm reminded of my childhood. In my house, my mom's house, in my parents' house, in my grandmother's house, they always had the image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And my favorite image is the one in which the heart of Jesus is exposed. And the eyes are such in the picture, no matter where you go, he's like he's looking at you. No matter where you go, his eyes are following you. I'm like, wow, I'm running here, I'm running there. And his eyes are still following me. And so what are we left with such an experience? I have to discern. For what reason is he looking at me like this? Is he looking to catch me doing something I shouldn't be doing? Or is he looking out for me? He's looking out for me. Just as he's looking out for you. This is the heart of God. This is the love of God that has been poured into your heart and my heart. Not to keep it to ourselves. We have to have a sense of urgency. People ask me often, Father, you think this is the end times? You think this is it? I said, it's been the end. We've been in the end times. There's no other revelation from God. So but when they ask me the question, they mean, do you think the world's going to come to an end? Well, the world will come to an end. I don't know when, and I'm not concerned with that. That's not for me to be concerned with. Jesus has already spoken to that. It's not for us to know the times or the seasons, but it's for us to attend to the work of the gospel in season and out of season. And how good it is to know that this work is not a matter of talking. It's a matter of the heart. So let us be emboldened today as we see the challenges that persist in our times. Look at us. We were diverse peoples. We come from every walk of life. Precisely because these are the challenges. How do you unify the diverse peoples of the world with everybody who's the same? God knows what he's doing. He's called each one of us to do our particular part in this time in history to realize the influx of bringing in of all the nations. The 12 that he chose, they didn't get it overnight. It took them time. They had to be refined. The same is for us. It'll take us a lifetime to become the disciples that look upon the people that we encounter day in and day out and see what Jesus sees. Not a problem, but an opportunity to give oneself away so that God might be glorified. This is the mission entrusted to us. It's consistent from the beginning. It's been expanded. So when we approach the Lord in a couple of moments to receive him, veiled under the bread and the wine, consecrated, it becomes the sacred heart of Jesus, veiled. Let us bring to him our hearts, so heavy burdened and we're tattered, broken hearts, many of us, longing for peace, longing for consolation, whatever it is, bring that to Jesus. And in turn, he will give you his heart, which also was broken, but broken on purpose, so that in opening himself to us as he has, all might now have access to the Father. For this is who he calls, he is drawing us to be with. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Live on in my love. You shall live in my love as I live in you. You shall live in me if you keep my commandments. That's the key to this entire enterprise. We must hang on every single word of God. For it's by that word that we live, not merely by bread alone, but every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. God love you.